Hey, greetings, everyone. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West here, and welcome to the Steadfast and Loyal Podcast. You gotta light them up before they burn it down. Better dig deep, put them in the ground. But on their hands, they're hell bound.
Before they burn it down.
Greetings, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. In my career, from the battlefield to Congress, honor and integrity have always been my compass. When it comes to building a precious metals portfolio for my family, I choose United Patriot Coin. Their commitment to honesty and transparency aligns with everything I stand for. They care about our great country and focus on serving patriots from all walks of life. They've teamed up with veterans of the precious metals market to create a new kind of gold dealer designed to serve the needs of a new type of gold buyer. And that's why I know I can trust them when it comes time to buy my gold and silver. If you value honesty and reliability as I do, then join me. Hey, greetings, everyone. Welcome back to the Steadfast and Loyal Podcast. And we're going to start looking at some national level races. And I tell you, one that has gotten a lot of attention here in the state of Texas is the race for Congressional District number 23. And that is where you have the incumbent, Representative Tony Gonzalez. He's been forced into a runoff by Brandon Herrera. And Brandon is with us. And Brandon is an entrepreneur and Second Amendment activist. He is in a runoff with Representative Tony Gonzalez. With his family originating in Texas, he was born in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Notice I said Fort Bragg, not that other name. With both parents coming from military families, he attended Campbell University, the Fighting Camels of Campbell University, with a focus on pre-law before leaving to focus on starting a small business in the firearm manufacturing industry. After increased frustration over government overreach during the COVID lockdowns of 2020, Brandon came back to his roots, moved to Texas for good, bringing his businesses and employees along with him. He works with pro-freedom groups, both in the Second Amendment community and otherwise, including notable partners such as the National Association for Gun Rights, the Firearm Policy Coalition, Gun Owners for America, and Young Americans for Liberty. Brandon Herrera, thanks so much for joining us here at the Steadfast and Loyal Podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And I appreciate you making the distinction that it will always be Fort Bragg and not Fort Liberty.
Yeah, I don't even say that name. It's always going to be Fort Hood and Fort Benning. And, you know, I don't know. We can discuss the absurdity of the progressive left. But let's talk about, okay, you get the itch to come back to Texas and run for Congress. What brought you to that decision to run for Congress? That's a big decision, especially when you're in a primary, which you have five or six people against a sitting incumbent.
Yeah, it is a big decision. You would know better than most. It was something that it took us a long time to kind of get to the point where we were comfortable pulling the trigger on that, because really what inspired it was genuinely just paying attention to my congressman and seeing the way he was voting. And, you know, because I didn't have any intention on ever holding political office of any kind. Yeah. I was just an upset constituent, really. I watched my congressman vote with Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi for gun control. I watched him fight border policy, and I just got more fed up every day that I watched his votes. And I decided, you know what, hey, this guy really, you know, last cycle, he didn't really get a very strong primary challenge, and he felt like he was invincible. And we've got to remind these people that no, if you vote against the interest of your constituents, you can lose your job. Yeah. And so that's why I jumped into the race, is because even though it was a crowded primary, I didn't quite feel like any of the candidates had enough juice to be able to push him below the 50% mark, which is what's needed here in Texas for a runoff. And that's why we jumped into the race and ended up taking about 26% of the vote from him,
Now,
which was
okay,
what was
so
needed.
you got 26%, and he ended up with what about 45.3 or 45.4%? Have the other candidates that were in the race coalesced around you so you have their support?
I've been in very, very close communication with the other candidates. Luckily, I never went on the offense against any of the other candidates, and
Yeah.
I kind of always had a thing where I would always talk with them openly while we were still competing against each other technically, that hey, if you win, I will absolutely, if you take this guy to a runoff, I'll absolutely endorse you, because I think we're all in this race for the same reason, is we're just trying to get the incumbent out. And I think that that message really resonated, and I think now that it the now that we are in a runoff, I think that that mindset has never been more necessary.
Well, without a doubt, when you do the research and study, incumbents don't fare very well in runoff elections because they're pretty much so tapped out at whatever you saw them get during the initial primary election. So I think things bode well for you. So now, what's your strategy in this runoff? Because you're down there, it's a border district. That's what Congressional District 23 is. You're getting back out along those border communities, and I'm sure continue to talk about that issue.
Oh, 100%. And it's a lot of the more rural areas as well are a lot of the people that feel the most frustrated, because they feel like they've been abandoned by their representative. Because, you know, they're a lot of these smaller areas, you know, Del Rio, Alpine, Fort Davis, they don't get a lot of the attention, and they sure don't get visits from their congressman, because they, you know, it's not a very populated area. So these people feel like they've just been completely abandoned. But in reality, that's what it's going to take, is it's going to take a lot more. You know, we don't have the Republican establishment money machine. We've got to do everything grassroots. And so that's going to be a lot of, you know, shaking hands, talking to people, grassroots fundraising, which, I mean, to be honest, that's kind of the way I like it. That's the way that politics should be.
Yes. Now, when you look at, you just brought up a great point, the GOP establishment, do you see, you know, other members of Congress, maybe even members in the Texas delegation trying to, you know, wrap themselves around Representative Gonzalez and helping him out?
Well, there's always going to be that natural, you know, tending toward the incumbent, you know, as the guy who's currently your coworker. That's what you normally see. You see people supportive of, you know, the status quo, for lack of a better term. But it's been interesting to see that not really be the case as much in this race. I mean, we just had Matt Gaetz come down and speak and endorse me at the Unity event that we did. And something that I hear he's caught a little bit of flack from his other coworkers for, but I mean, it's important. I mean, you get to, you know, outside, you get people that can come in and kind of choose who they want as colleagues, somebody that would be a better person to work with them to actually support America First agendas and actual conservative values. I think it's something that was kind of unusual for races like this, but it's been really refreshing to see.
Now, obviously, you get past this runoff and you're successful there. And I believe you will be, like I said, because incumbents don't normally do well in runoff elections. What would be, without, you know, we know the border, but what would be some of the other critical issues that you would look to tackle as a freshman member of Congress from the great state of Texas?
For sure. Well, aside from the immigration issue, the two things I think I could be most helpful in is obviously the Second Amendment.
Yes.
My entire career being in firearms, I've fought the ATF for a decade now. That's something that I know the law pretty well inside and out, and I think that makes me an effective tool in fighting not only more gun control, but being able to push back and get some of our rights back through the legislature. The other thing is actually the VA. I'd actually like to be on the Committee for Veterans Affairs,
Yeah.
and a lot of the groups that I work with, you know, like Black Rifle and Black Rifle Connected groups and things, that we've been able to raise a lot of money for veterans issues. There's a lot of friends of mine that do a lot of work with a lot of great veteran groups, and so a lot of those people already have suggestions and things they'd like to see implemented. And I think a lot of that stuff can be bipartisan. I don't really see why that should be a partisan issue. You know, these people sacrificed a lot for our country. The least we can do is fulfill the promises that we gave them.
You know, it's interesting to me because you look and see what is happening with these illegal immigrants that are coming into the United States, and you know, free cell phones, free housing, and all of these things. But yet we continue to see our veterans getting pushed back and back and further down the line. And I really believe that affects their psyche, and still why we see that high amount of veteran suicides here in the United States of America. Let's switch over, because you did bring up something. You've been in the gun manufacturing industry for quite some time. There seems to be a dedicated war against the gun manufacturing industry, because for whatever reason, the left wants to, you know, disarm legal law-abiding citizens at a time when we see criminal elements, single military age illegal immigrants coming into this country, violent criminals being released off to the streets. What are some of the things we can do to strengthen that gun manufacturing industry here in the United States of America?
Well, one of the things, and you really hit on it, because they are targeting the manufacturers specifically now, because it's not popular anymore. They're not winning with assault weapons bans. They're not winning with a lot of the stuff that they try to push. So what they're going to try to do, or what they're trying to do, is make it legally precarious for manufacturers manufacturers who are following the law to be able to do their job. They're trying to go after them for liability issues and different things. And basically the end goal is just to make it cost prohibitive to do legal business in the United States, which is, it's smart, but it's sneaky. And so that's something we've got to make sure that, we can't let them take. It's one of those, Ford isn't held accountable when there's a drunk driving accident. Mm-hmm. So why are you suing Sig Sauer if, something that they were completely not connected to happened from somebody who passed a background check and everybody followed the law to a T? And it's a ridiculous standard to hold, but that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, one of the things that I read recently, and the organization I'm with, the American Constitutional Rights Union, we're going to sign on with an amicus brief, is they're trying to allow the president of Mexico to bring lawsuits against the gun manufacturers here in the United States of America, because the freaking cartels are getting weapons in America. Okay, to me, the cartels exist because the president of Mexico is not doing his job. But this is a collusion with a foreign government to undermine the American gun manufacturers industry. Have you heard about this? You have any insights?
I find that absolutely hilarious and dripping with irony, considering a large portion of those guns sold to cartels were specifically funneled by the DOJ under Eric Holder during Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious.
It's completely where they talk to FFLs here in Texas and other border areas and basically force them to knowingly sell to the cartel, saying, don't worry, this is a sting, we're tracking it. And it ended up costing lives of Border Patrol agents at the end of the day,
Brian,
for something
Terry.
That was a complete failure.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's so important. I believe that everyday Americans should be seeking to do what you're doing, to run for office. And I think that's the real lesson learned from what you are doing. So as we get ready to wrap up the interview, what are the lessons that you learned that you could share with other individuals that are sitting back there saying, my member of Congress is not representing me. I would like to get involved and engaged. What encouragement could you give to other people?
Be prepared for it to age you prematurely. I think it's important. At the end of the day, I politician still sounds like a slur to me. I prefer statesman. I feel like that's,
yes,
we need to get back away from career politicians and back to statesmen. This should be seen as public service, and that's something that's how I look at it anyway. And I think it's something that we need more average everyday Americans to do. People who've been blessed like I have by this country and the opportunities it's given me, something that I can actually give back and again, treat it like public service. I think that's what's needed in Congress. We don't need more silver spoon attorneys who, have been planning to do this their entire life. This is the prestigious thing that they want to add their feather in their cap. We need more everyday people. We need more real people.
So the first Tuesday in May, if I'm correct, for the runoff election?
It's May 28th.
Okay, May 28th.
Yes, sir.
And so back off 2 weeks for early voting. Will there be any debates between you and the congressman before then?
I was kind of hoping so. The Bexar County here in San Antonio, the biggest county in the district, they had a debate held on in February, and Tony was supposed to be there for that debate, and the only people who showed up were literally everyone else. So it was me and the three other challengers. But we were sure to, he bounced out. I think he bailed a few days prior, despite committing to be there. But we made sure to leave an empty chair there for him, just to make sure to remind everyone where their congressman wasn't.
Well, hopefully there will be debates because I think it's so important to present yourself before the people.
Absolutely.
Brandon, if people want to support you, what's your website? How can they get in contact and do so?
Well, the website is BrandonHerreraForCongress.com, but we'll also, we're getting right back out on the road. We're not resting on our laurels, and we'll be doing another full tour of the district, hitting all those small towns along the way. So, if you'd like to see us there, I'd love to talk to you.
Well, I will tell you that one person you need to make sure you see is the chairwoman of Brewster County, Texas,
Yep.
Alpine, Texas. That's Monica McBride. She is a very strong, good, conservative leader there. So get Alpine, Texas, and Brewster County in your corner. Anything
Absolutely.
else you want to sh
One of the most beautiful parts of the
Oh,
district, in my
it
opinion.
is.
The topography there is m majestic.
The Big Bend Mountains and everything. But it's also one of the most dangerous for the infiltration of illegal immigrants. People aren't talking about the type of people that are coming across out there with the backpacks, the camouflage, with the carpeting on the bottom of their shoes so they can't be tracked. So
Yep.
your congressional district is very important to the sovereignty of the United States of America. So I wish you well in this
Thanks,
election. You
sir.
have my support and endorsement in going out there and winning this. And I appreciate you stepping up and airborne all the way.
I appreciate it, sir. It means the world. It really does.
Closing thoughts, comments, any last things you want to say to people?
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate the voters of Texas for putting their faith in me. Like I've said before, we fired a shot that was heard around Texas, and most importantly, it was heard loud and clear in DC. And so hopefully that sends a message to a lot of establishment Republicans that are voting against our interests. If you continue to do so, we will primary you and we will take your seat.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Herrera, who is in a runoff in Texas Congressional District 23 against Congressman Tony Gonzalez. Please go out and support him. As I said, he has my endorsement in this race. And if you like this podcast episode, please click the like button and share it with others. And until next time, steadfast and loyal.
Before they burn it down.